Hello everyone, you listen to J Movie Talk episode 145 as I be talking The Road Warrior.
Greetings from the Humongous, the Lord Humongous, the Warrior of the Wasteland, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller!
I'm gravely disappointed. Again you have made me unleash my dogs of war. Look at what remains of your gallant scouts. Why? Because you're selfish. You hoard your gasoline. You will not listen to reason. Now, my prisoners say, you plan to take your gasoline out of the wasteland. You send them out this morning to find a vehicle. A rig big enough to hold that fat tank of gas. What a puny plan. Look around you. This is the valley of death.
See?
Nothing can escape. The Humongous rules the wasteland.
Give them nothing.
All right, guys, I am back to discuss The Road Warrior from 1981. That is the second of the original Mad Max trilogy films. If you listen to episode 144, of course, I did the original Mad Max film, which I had a lot of fun talking about that film because it's been a while since I actually watched that movie in its entirety. I think I said it on that episode too, that I rarely watched that one. I know it was the last one that I actually saw of the original trilogy, and I kind of find myself not really watching it as much or anything like that or whatnot. But yeah, like I said, I had a lot of fun doing that episode, and now I'm on to talk about The Road Warrior, which came out in 1981 in Australia, where it was originally released. And it didn't come to the United States until I believe it was like May of 1982. So there's like, you know, a big gap in between the time that the original release of the film in Australia and then when it came to the United States, similar to how the first film was as well. And this was George Miller's second feature film. So his first two films basically were the Mad Max films. And it basically was like, how could he top what he did with the original film? And he basically continues the story of Max, who now is just a drifter or whatnot and everything like that. But before I go deep into talking about the film, just want to give a synopsis and, of course, the cast of this movie. So basically, the premise of this movie is on a post-apocalyptic Australian wasteland, a cynical drifter agrees to help a small gasoline-rich community escape a horde of bandits. And, of course, we have Mel Gibson returning as Max. He's the only original cast member to return, of course. And then we have a bunch of whole new cast of characters here. We have Bruce Spence as the gyro captain. We have Michael Preston as Papa Gala. We have Vernon Wells as Wes. Emil Minty as the Ferial Kid. Virginia Hay as the Warrior Woman. Kiel Nielsen as the Humongous, Lord Humongous. Oh, if you will, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller, which again, that kind of comes into play. It's kind of a carryover line from the first film as well. But those are pretty much your main cast of characters with a bunch of other people kind of sprinkled in here and there. So the movie opens with somewhat of a backstory, you know, of Max and while he's, you know, what happened in the first film, you know, with the wife and kids and the toe cutters gang and how he just basically, you know, continued driving. I guess he never returned or anything. He just kept driving out into the wastelands or whatnot. And in the process of this, society has fallen. Now, not really sure if it was a worldwide thing or if it was just society has fallen in Australia. I know they never really truly make that clear, but if we're to assume that it was just in Australia. We don't know how long actually has time gone by for everything to basically fall into hell. But then again, in the first film, it seemed like society was like hanging on by a thread in some cases or whatnot, especially with the nomad gangs kind of already kind of running the streets and everything like that. And plus with it being in Australia, there's a lot of outback anyway. So once you get past, I'm assuming like a lot of key cities, there's like miles and miles of outback, you know, for miles and miles or whatnot. So I would assume, it's because I've never been to Australia. I would like to go one day. I'm assuming that, you know, it probably wouldn't be that tough for things to kind of just fall off the rails fairly quickly, like that or anything. But like I say, George Miller, he never really, you know, says how much time has truly gone by. But so I would assume, if I'm gonna make an assumption, I would assume that maybe 4 or 5 years has probably gone by. Maybe, and everything like that. And especially with how you have these little outskirt towns or whatnot that's trying to survive, like the main town that we have here. So the movie, after the opening scroll with the narration, and everything, we are introduced to Max, who's being chased down by these by these gang members or whatnot. And everything with this is very BDSM type of get-ups and everything, and he's being chased down, and he also has a dog, like a dingo dog, I'm assuming, or whatnot, and they're being chased down. He still has the V8, and it looks like it's kind of been through some, you know, rough patches along the time that he's been out there. We don't know exactly why these guys are chasing him or anything like that, and it's a cool car chase scene, and Max is basically, you know, he kind of fends them off, and the leader of this group of guys is, of course, Vernon Wells' character Wes, and his golden youth that's on his back and everything like that, which they had an interesting relationship, which I'll talk about that later. But he fends them off. He ends up killing a couple of the other the guys and everything, and Max ends up stopping, you know, for this gas and stuff, and he, like I say, he fends off Wes, and it's like, ah, well, we'll never see them again type of situation or whatnot. And that's basically how the movie opens. I mean, the opening car chase here is solid, but it's, I would not put it on the same level as the one from the first film. That opening scene is just priceless. It, like I say, 10 minutes of just pure, you know, it's adrenaline, it has comedy, it has some horrific moments in it, just, you know, just crazy. But this one is a little bit more subdued. It's not as long, I mean, and everything. So after that, Max, he basically continues on, and he comes across like this little spot and everything, and it's like, okay, what is this? And Max kind of investigating, and he sees a snake there and everything like this, and he ends up beating the snake in order to get to what he was trying to get to. And out of the dirt comes this freaking guy with a doggone bow and arrow. And he basically set this trap, you know, I guess this is how he lure people in to kind of get things off of them or whatnot. And he wants to take Max's car, and he got Max at a bow and arrow disadvantage and everything. And this is, of course, the gyro captain, played by Bruce Spence, and he's telling Max, like, hey, you know, it's a very nice car. I've never seen anybody beat the snake before. Who exactly are you? Max don't tell him who he is, of course, or whatnot, because Max doesn't really say a lot in this movie, which I'll talk more about that as well later, too. So he tells Max to, you know, he's like, hey, you know, he tells Max to, you know, basically get away from the car, and it's like, and Max tells him, like, hey, the car is booby trapped. He's like, ah, it's not booby trapped. He's just telling me that so I don't take your car. It's like, okay, fine. You don't believe me? Fine. You blow up on you or whatnot. So he's like, all right, fine. If it's booby trapped, disarm it. So Max goes to disarm it, and he tells Max, like, hey, look, you know, a quick fella like you might have a weapon underneath. There'd be a shame if I had to ping your head to the panel. And which Max did have, like, a knife, like, next to the, device underneath the car. So he leaves the knife, disarms the car. And as the gyro captain goes to get in the car, the dog jumps out and attacks him. And that's when it's like Max always has, you know, another ace up his sleeve, which was the dog in this case. And the dog jumps on the gyro captain. And of course, as soon as he's attacked, he's thinking that Max is going to kill him and whatnot. And he starts squealing like a pig and basically saying, you know, I can get you gasoline. You know, I know a place. You want gas? You don't kill me, blah, 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 you know, and everything. Like, so basically, he talks his way out of getting killed. And Max is like, all right, fine. Take me to this place. So they go to where the gasoline community is, and we see where they're basically fending off this gang. Ironically enough, Max recognizes Wes is there, and we see the Lord Humongous, and they're fighting off, like I say, they're fighting off this gang of people. So Max and Gyro Captain, they kind of waited out a bit to see, like, how exactly can they you know, get inside this place without, you know, having to deal with this gang or anything, or feel like they're a threat to these people. And unfortunately, we get another similar scene from the first movie where a couple of the gang members, they attack this woman and man, and they basically beat up the man and shoot him with an arrow and everything. And then, of course, they attack the woman, and looks like they rape her as well. Or whatnot. We don't actually see it, but we just get the reaction from Max and the Gyro Captain's face that that's what goes on. So Max, he uses this as an opportunity once all of the other men have left, except for one is still there. He uses this as an opportunity to kind of go down. And once again, similar to what happened with Johnny the Boy in the first movie, he sees the guy, you know, he's still lingering around there or whatnot. And Max takes a doggone bolt cutter and just bash him across the head, and the woman is already dead, but the guy, he's still hanging on for dear life. And he goes to the guy and he, you know, gets him, he takes, and the guy tells him, it's like, if you take me back to my community, I can get you all the gasoline that you want, which is all Max really wanted. He just wanted some freaking gas because the car was already on low when he was in that car chase in the beginning. So the car was already on. He did need gas, so he uses it as an opportunity and everything for himself. So he takes the guy back, and of course the people in the community, they're very hostile to Max with the fact that he's bringing him in and everything. And that's when we're introduced to the leader, Papa Gala, who he's like, hey, I want some answers. Like, who exactly are you? How are you surviving out there? Where'd you come from? How'd you end up with him? And they asking him a bunch of questions, and Max is telling him, like, hey, look, I found him. He said if I bring him, we had an arrangement. He said if I bring him back, I can get some gas. That's all I'm here for. I don't want to get mixed up in you people's, you know, business or anything. Just give me what I want so I can go away, basically, is what Max is saying. And in the process of Max being interrogated, the guy ends up dying. So Papa Gala tells him, like, look, whatever deal you had with him, it died with him. So we don't owe you jack. And then Max gets pissed in a type of way, because it's like, crap. Like, how do I, you know, get out of this? So they end up taking Max hostage and everything like that. And in the process of this, the gang comes back. And this is where we get probably the most infamous scene from this movie, of course, is with the Lord Humongous, where he's talking. And he's a big freaking dude or whatnot. And he has on this kind of, it's almost like a hockey mask, but it's not really a hockey mask, but it does look very similar to the Jason hockey mask and everything. And I wonder if they did that on purpose. I'm not really sure. I never really got the full backstory on that, but he does have an interesting look. And he's a built dude and everything, the Lord Humongous. And he's basically, you know, telling them, you know, just walk away. I will give you free passage if you just walk away and leave the gas, you know, just leave. You know, type of thing. And they're basically threatening them, and they're like, yeah, we're not giving you nothing. And Max is just looking like, yeah, whatever. Like, I just want to get the hell out of here. Like, I want to deal with these freaking people. So also, I forgot to mention, we're introduced here to the Feral Kid as well. He walks around with a freaking boomerang, a metal boomerang at that, because during this whole process, he has a tunnel that he has dug where it leads from inside the camp to the outside, like right outside the camp or whatnot. And he kind of sneaks out there and he shows up and he throws the boomerang and it almost hits Wes. And Wes, he looks like, what the hell is that? And then it comes back to him. He tosses again. He kills the golden youth boy. And Wes, of course, freaks out about this because that was his boy and everything. And then the main kind of like the hype man, I believe he's the Toady. I believe that's who that is his character's name. You know, you don't really ever hear his character name. But anyway, he tries to catch the freaking boomerang and gets his fingers sliced off. And everybody starts laughing like it's the biggest joke or whatnot. And Humongous kind of gets everybody back in line. It's like, look, listen, just walk away. We won't, you know, kill you people. You know, just give us what we want and y'all can just go. But we want the gasoline. And of course, like I say, they decide not to and, you know, and everything like that. And the Humongous, he's like, okay, fine. Maybe we'll come back again and we'll try this again or whatnot. But what I want to talk about real quick too. Okay, so one thing I do want to make a comparison because I will be making a few comparisons from this movie to the first movie, and one of those comparisons is the comparison of the gangs. Now, with the Toe Cutter gang, you knew they were kind of similar to, like I say, kind of like Alice DeLarge and his droids from A Clockwork Orange. They had that type of playful, sinister, you know, way about them. Now, with these cutthroats, they just exactly what they look like. They look like a bunch of cutthroats and everything. It's like, how the hell did these people get together and where the hell did they come from? That's one of the crazy things. Like, where did these people come from? Or whatnot. Because they're dressed in leather and you got chains and whips and all this kind of crazy gear that they have on. It's like, how the hell did these people get together? And how, I guess they've been tear-assing all around the Outback or something like this, and just waited for the prime opportunity when things fell apart. They're like, yes, now we can run the streets or run the Outback wastelands or whatnot. But this gang, like I say, is even more crazier to me than what Toe Cutter and his gang was. And Toe Cutter's gang was pretty crazy in the first Mad Max film. But it was very interesting. But one thing about them is that you don't get too much from this gang like you did with the original gang. Because with this gang, you get the Humongous, you get Wes, and then it's just like random guy here or whatnot. It's nobody that really stands out like the gang in the first one. Each one of those characters had personality to them is basically what I'm trying to say. Where here, I don't know why George Miller, he decided to do that or whatnot, where you get less emphasis on the gang this time around, whereas the gang was like a big part of the first film and everything like that. But so after that, well, I do, and then also too, in regards to the Humongous, the Lord Humongous, if you will. There's always been like interesting theories about that character, like who he might be, and things of that nature. I know there's a few theories that said, well, maybe he was a Fifi or whatnot, but then again, it's like, could that be him? I mean, Fifi was a kind of a big dude, but he wasn't jacked like what the Lord Humongous was. And then there was also a theory that it could have been Goose. And it's like, well, Goose was badly burned, but also Humongous does have some type of defect as well with the back of his head and everything like that. So could it be Goose? But how did Goose, you know, heal and everything like this? And then how the hell did he become like this, you know, muscle bound dude? So that's always been a theory. Then, of course, with the gun case that he has, and he has like war medals and things of that nature, and this big ass hand cannon that he got for a gun with a sniper rifle on it. And then it's like, okay, well, who exactly could he be, or whatnot? And I think a lot of that was left up to interpretation, really, because I know they put a lot of emphasis on the gun case that he has with his medals and with the picture that's inside. But are those his parents inside? Is the guy on the picture supposed to be him? Like, who? It's never fully explained, and it's kind of left, you know, more to the viewer to kind of come up with their own theory. So I want to assume that he isn't really anybody that we've met in the past. I don't think so. Like I say, the goose one could maybe kind of sort of, but then again, it's like, okay, how exactly could he become, how did he go from being Goose to being freaking Bane, or how the hell did he go from being Goose to freaking Captain America type of thing? You know, they shoot him up with some super serum or something that we don't know about, and all of a sudden maybe his face is just disfigured, so that's why he wears the mask and everything like that. But that's always been something that's kind of, you know, carried behind with this movie, is the theory of who exactly the Lord Humongous really is. So after the gang leaves and everything, and Papa Gala and his people are trying to figure out what exactly to do, because a lot of them do get scared. And one woman, she's like the spokesperson for everybody. She's like, well, he said he would give us safe passage. All we have to do is just leave. And Papa Gala kind of just looks at her like, are you stupid? Like, if we let them come in here, if we leave, they're going to kill us. And if they don't kill us, how the hell are we going to survive out there with nothing? This is our community. We live here. This is our stuff. We're not going to just turn it over to these lunatics or whatnot, these hooligans or whatnot. And a lot of people, they don't want to stand and fight. The warrior woman, played by Virginia Hayes, she's like, look, I'm going to stick around and fight. Like, I don't care about these people. I want to kill them. Like, I'm going to stand and fight. You do what you want to do, but I'm going to fight. And she was a tough, chick in this movie, too, and everything. In the beginning, she kind of has some animosity towards Max or whatnot, because she doesn't trust him and everything. I think she thinks that he's like a plant from the gang or something like that, or he's just some, cutthroat that's just trying to, you know, get some gasoline and just get out of there or whatnot, which kind of was just trying to get some gasoline and just go, because he even said, look, I just want gasoline. I just want some gas and go or whatnot. So they asked Max for help, and Max is like, I'm not going to help you people or whatnot like this. So after some time, and Humongous, he comes back again later that night, and you can see where, like, there's a couple of their people have been captured and got them strung up, and he's, you know, yelling and screaming, basically cutting a promo, basically. And, you know, you don't really see what they're doing to him, but you know whatever it is they're doing, they're basically, you know, they're basically torturing these people that they have tied up and everything. So Max, I guess after this, Max kind of like, okay, fine, I'll get involved with you people. So Max is like, look, because they do decide, like, okay, we can't stay here forever. We do have to get here, but we're not going to give them our gasoline. But we need something big enough that can transport the gasoline, too. So Max, he's like, hey, you know, a couple of days ago, I saw this rig that can haul that tanker for you. And say, I'll go get it for you. He said, but after that, I want my same deal. I go get this oil. I go get this rig for you. You have the rig. You give me some gasoline, and I'll be on my way and everything. So they agree to that. And Max, he's like, but I need some gas to start this thing, because it doesn't have any gas. So it's basically the same rig that Max saw in the beginning of the film where he fought off Wes and the other goons. So he goes. So they decide to let Max go. He goes back. He damn near falls in a ditch while he's leaving, because it's pitch black and now he can't see nothing. And he ends up getting past the gang that's there and everything. He goes back, he finds the gyro captain, and they go to the truck. And Max just does the gyro captain real dirty. It in a comical type way, because he just treats him terrible. They get back to the rig and everything. They get everything situated, and he has him chained up. Max he just throws the key down for him to unlock itself, but he just takes off in the truck and goes. And you see him like walking behind him and he yelling like, we're partners, you and I, and everything. And it's like, why does Max treat him so bad? Which we never really know why he treats him so bad, but he does. He treats him terrible. So Max, he's driving the rig back, and of course the gang is still camped out a ways, and they see it coming. So of course Wes and some of the other guys, they, you know, go to attack the rig and everything like this. And the Lord Humongous, like I say, he pulls out this freaking, I want to say it's a 45, but it's more like a modified 45. It looks like an elephant gun, but it's a handgun, but it's like an elephant gun basically. And he takes it, he only puts one bullet in the thing, and he shoots the thing right in the engine, and the thing starts smoking. And Max manages to get the truck inside, and of course Wes and some of the other goons get in, and they, you know, fend them off, and Wes, he, you know, gets away, and everything. But he recognizes who Max is, because like, you, and then he takes off and leaves and everything. So in the process of this, Papa Gala, he has to get shot in the leg with an arrow, and everything. But he's not that badly injured. But we find out that the rig is actually beat up to hell, and they let him know like, hey, this thing gonna take like 24 hours to fix or whatnot. And Papa Gala's like, look, you got 12 hours to fix it. And he's like, all right. So, in the process of that, everybody's just celebrating Max and everything like this, and it's like, well, everybody's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be great having you drive drive that tanker for us and everything. And Max's like, I just want my gas. That was all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted. I just want the gas. And Max is like, I'm getting my gas and I'm peacing out or whatnot. And they get kind of pissed with Max, but they still made a deal with him. So Max, he gets the gas, he gets in the car and he takes off and everything. And of course, Wes and some of the other goons, they chase Max down, and they basically run Max off the road. Cargo basically gets destroyed. Max damn near dies. They come across, they find a dog, they kill the dog, which of course is always, you know, a sad thing whenever you see a dog or animal gets killed in a movie. But Max, he manages to kind of hide away, you know, clinging on to life. And the gyro captain, he finds him and he takes him back to the camp and everything. So after this is where Max decides that he's going to drive the oil rig for him, and everything. But before I go on, I did want to talk about freaking Vernon Wells in this movie. This is probably like one of the two characters he's best known for. The other one, of course, is his character from Commando, where he looks like freaking Freddie Mercury. But this character, I think, is where people was first truly introduced to him. And everything, and because he's a stunt man but also an actor too, he does a lot of his own stunts in this movie. You could tell it that it's him that's doing it, and he's just batshit crazy in this movie. And it's funny too that even after this movie, he kind of reprises this role a few years later in Weird Science, when the whole thing at the end of the movie, and he shows up with a bunch of other, you know. And Michael Berryman is one of his gang. And I thought it was interesting too that they decided to kind of change it up with the fact that in this movie, he has a golden youth boy as his kind of boy slave or whatnot. But in Weird Science, it's a girl. And I guess John, he was like, like, we'll do the whole thing, but we're not going to have the golden youth boy. We had the youth girl, but not the boy or whatnot, which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, it would have been kind of funny if they would have had, you know, the same actor that played his boy. And I put in quotation marks when I say his boy, or whatnot, you know, reprise his role in Weird Science. But instead they used the girl. The girl wasn't bad looking either. Or whatnot. I don't know who the actress was, but anyway, back to the movie, talking about Vernon Wells. He's like, in some ways, he overshadows the Lord Humongous, because even though Lord Humongous is the leader of the gang, but he doesn't really truly feel like the leader at certain points. And like I say, you get more from Vernon Wells than you actually do of Humongous, really, or whatnot. So, like I say, Max, he decides to become like the reluctant hero of the movie. almost an hour into the freaking movie is when Max decides, like, hey, all right, fine, I'll help you people out or whatnot. Because Max has been trying to avoid this at all costs. Max doesn't want to do, he doesn't want to be involved in any of this. But because he really doesn't have anything left, really, and he says it, like, I have nothing else left really in my life right now. The car is destroyed. My dog is dead. Like, hell, I barely lived after that. Like, what else I got to do? So they decide that they're going to have Max driving the oil rig. Not the oil rig, but the truck, the 18-wheeler with the gasoline tanker or whatnot. And a couple of people would be with him, and they're going to lead the gang away while everyone else leaves, you know, leaves away safely and everything. And that's the plan that they come up with. It's basically a suicide mission when you really think about it. So you basically get this whole chase, because from the moment Max and Rig leaves and everything, the gang is on him, on them like crazy, you know, trying to every stop to bring him down while everyone else, you know, gets away in the cars and school buses. The Feral Kid, he is supposed to be going along with the, you know, the rest of the community or whatnot, but he decides that, like, he's gonna jump on the back of the truck and ride off with Max and everything, because he has this attachment to Max, which I haven't really talked about that too much, but he does. He has this attachment to Max. He doesn't talk or anything like that, but he's just a feral kid. We don't know who freaking kid he actually belongs, you know, whose kid he is. I don't think it's anybody that's even there at the camp. There's probably some kid they found, or he found them or something like that. But he doesn't talk. He's tough. He's a tough little kid, and that's probably why Max, you know, allows him to kind of hang around him or whatnot. And so, like I say, they get out on the road and they're driving, and like I say, Humongous and the rest of the gang, they're, you know, chasing them down. And in the process of this, because after what happened, Wes is kind of been chained up, but he gets unleashed here and he's allowed to basically try to, you know, help bring down the truck and everything, stop the truck from getting away. And in the process of this, you know, he's run off the road and everything. But also in the process of this, like I say, they're doing their best to defend themselves from the gang. You got the one guy that's on the back throwing Molotov cocktails. You got the mechanic who's, by the way, is, you know, who's handicapped and everything. For some reason, he's a part of this suicide run too. And you have the warrior woman, Virginia Hay, as well, that's defending the truck. And you kind of get a sense, like, I don't think things are going to go too well, especially when the one guy that's on the back, when they throw a grappling hook and it hooks him and he ends up getting dumped on the road, basically, and get roasted because, you know, he had the Molotov cocktails with him there and he gets dumped in the road. And the mechanic and the warrior woman, they kind of look like, oh, crap. So in the process of this, the freaking mechanic dude, he ends up getting fire all over him, but because his legs don't work, he don't feel it, but of course he got gloves on and stuff like that. So he's trying to put the fire out, and the warrior woman, she tries to, you know, get to him and everything. And that's when Wes and the guys on the truck come by. They see her basically, you know, in the wide open, so they shoot like the arrows into her. She falls like to the side of the truck, almost falls off, but she's like dangling for life. And while they're dangling, but the mechanic guy, he's trying to pull her up. He can't, but the car pulls up next to him and they end up pulling them off and they die, whatnot. And Max and the Feral Kid both looking like, oh crap, it's just us, right? You got Max driving, you got the kid on the, like, right there behind him. It's like, oh crap, it's just us. So in the process of this, the gyro captain, he comes flying up and he starts dropping bombs on top of them and everything like that. And everything. And while all this is going on, Papa Gala, he and a couple of the other people, they show up trying to help defend the rig too. And one guy who had got on the back had got his claw stuck into Max's back, well, the shoulder and his back, really, and everything. And Papa Gala, he runs up, like, next to him. He just kind of give Max this, like, look, like, really? Like, this is what's going on. And Papa Gadget's yelling for the boy to, you know, he's like, jump, boy, jump. We won, boy, and everything. And the boy, he's like fighting and scratching and clawing at this guy and everything. And while all this is going on, the Lord Humongous, he pulls up behind Papa Gadget, pulls out this freaking, I don't know what this is, like a mini trident or something like that. And he tosses it and stabs him in the back. Papa Gadget's dead. And everything. Gyro Captain, he comes along because he pulls out another trident and he was about to throw it at Max. But the Gyro Captain, he drops the bombs down on top of the Lord Humongous, which kind of puts him out of commission. He stops because he's on fire basically in his coat. So he pulls over to the side. He stops. And everything. They're doing their best to try to defend. They're shooting the tires out. This car chase is crazy. So Wes, he's ended up on top of the cab and everything, and he's like swinging this doggone ball and chain trying to, you know, get Max and everything. Max decides to stop short. Wes goes flying off the front. You're assuming that he's dead, but he didn't really die. He was just hanging on for dear life, basically. And in the process of everything that was going on, Max, he turns the rig around, which is kind of similar to what he did in the first Mad Max movie, where he when he was chasing down the gang members and he like runs them off the road, he gets way up ahead, but he spins the car around and he comes back towards them, and then that's when he takes them all out. Well, he does kind of similar move here where he turns the rig around and he's heading back the way he came. And while when he does that, we see where the Lord Humongous, who has like this nitro boost or whatnot. I mean, Fast and Furious had nothing on this freaking nitro boost thing. He starts screeching down the road going towards, because he doesn't know that they're coming back his way. So, and Max, he's doing his best to try to get this guy like off his back, and he tells the Feral Kid to go out on the hood and get the bullet or whatnot. And it's funny, this is the first time where you see this kid is like legit scared to do this, because when you see him throughout the rest of the movie, he's like a very fearless kid. But this, when Max tells him to go out on the hood of the truck, he's like, he has this scared to death look, like, I'm going to go out there. You know what that means? He's like, get the bullet, kid, get the bullet. So he's like inching out there. Right when he goes to grab the shell, Wes pops up and he's grabbing at him and everything. Max pulls him back. He's trying to pull him back in. And in the process of this, we see where they're speeding down the road. And that's when they see that Humongous is coming right towards them. Wes, he turns around and sees, like he realizes he's fucked and everything. And they go creening right into Humongous. It's one of the best shots you ever see. He creens into him, basically destroys the Lord Humongous. And Wes and the truck goes flipping off the side of the road and everything. Just destroyed. And it's kind of almost funny, like when the rest of the gang shows up there, they just kind of stop and just look, and it's like they're sad because their leader is dead and they don't know what they're going to do now and everything. But the Gyro Captain, he ends up showing up after the gang has left, and you see where the truck has been filled with dirt. There was no gasoline in it, because what they did, the old bait and switch, they actually put the gasoline and drums and put them inside the cars, so the community actually had the gasoline the whole time and tricked the gang and everything like that. And Max and the kid, you know, they survive, and the Gyro Captain, he shows up, and they kind of have like a, you know, like a relief type of smile at each other. And I guess Max gives the Feral Kid to the Gyro Captain, because then we get this narration where it was actually the Feral Kid that was narrating this whole thing the whole time, that he's telling the story. And he says that he went on with the Gyro Captain, who led them to a better life. And then when the Gyro Captain died, he became the leader of the community like that. And he say, but we never saw the one they call the Road Warrior, because they never even, Max, the one we call the Road Warrior, we never saw him again after that day. And it's just like this one last shot of Max on the road, you know, and everything, because he's basically the walking man. He's the traveling lonely loner is basically what he's become and everything. I thought it was kind of interesting they decided to kind of make this story in a way not be really Max's story, even though Max is in it, but it's not really his story, like I say, because of the fact that you have the Feral Kid who does the narration. So it's basically everything to some degree is basically told. You would assume that the movie is told from his point of view. Henceforth, the way it begins is probably a story that was told to him. That's why there's no real beginning of before that. And then you just kind of get everything else from the movie in that regard. So one thing I did find interesting about this before I give my rating and everything is that Mel Gibson's performance here is more action driven than anything. He only has a total of 16 lines in the movie. And two of those lines actually is just him saying, "I want the gasoline." So basically 50 when you, if you take out the double line, really. I thought that was interesting. He doesn't really say a whole lot in this movie, but then again, he didn't really have to. In most movies like this, you don't really need a hero, or in this case, a reluctant hero to say a whole lot. He just kind of has to do action. And plus, the movie is kind of fast paced. It moves a lot faster than the first movie. And I think more people enjoy this movie because of that more so than they do the first movie. The first movie is more like a, like I said in that episode too, you get the big car chase at the beginning, and then at the end is when you really get the second car chase, because even with the previews for the first movie, you really got more of the stuff with the car chasing and the action and everything, when there's not a lot of action in the first movie. But in the previews, that was a selling point. With this one, it's a lot more action. We don't get really too much character development here. Like, so you get little bits and pieces of things here and there, but overall, this is more of a straight up action movie. It's like you get in, you get out, we give a little bit of dialogue here and there, but mainly it's action, action, action. And like I say, I feel like this is the movie that truly where people really like notice Mel Gibson and everything. Even though the first movie you notice him as an actor, but even with that, I don't think a lot of people, I think more people saw The Road Warrior than they actually saw Mad Max. I could be wrong with that, but I do believe more people saw, especially the fact that it's not called Mad Max 2. It's called Road Warrior. So if you saw Mad Max and then you're like, "What the hell is The Road Warrior?" And then you're like, "Oh, it's the same character. So why'd they change the name? Why is it called Mad Max 2? But then I know in some cases, in some places, it's called Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. But I know like the copy of the movie I have is actually just called The Road Warrior and everything. And even when it would come on TV back in the day too, it was just called The Road Warrior or whatnot. So, I mean, if I have to give this movie a rating, like I say, it is my favorite of the original trilogy. So for me, I would actually give it a 4 out of 5 or whatnot. It's not a perfect movie, of course, but it just, the car chases, the action, and just the sheer adrenaline that you get, especially from that final chase scene. It's like a thrill ride, really. So with all of that, I give it a 4 out of 5. It's very fun. As far as a favorite character, now I know in the first movie I didn't have a favorite character or whatnot. I had more interesting characters. Here, I'm going to stick with that. I think for this whole entire thing, I'll probably just go with interesting characters, not favorite characters. So if I had to go with interesting characters once again, I would probably say that, and we take Max out of the equation because we know who Max is. But as far as interesting characters, the Feral Kid, he's an interesting character. Wiz is definitely an interesting character. The Lord Humongous was an interesting character. The Warrior Woman, Virginia Hayes, she was an interesting character. How did she end up with these people? And what was her, you know, what was her life like before she became the Warrior Woman? And everything like that. The Gyro Captain, he's an interesting dude. How the hell has he been surviving out there the way he's been living, and everything? Or whatnot. So those are probably my most interesting characters, really, from this movie. So before I get out of here, I do want to give a couple of shout outs, of course. I want to give a shout out to JD from the Wrestling Bread podcast, Jeff from Jeff Versus the World, Ryan and Martin, of course, from the Blood and Black Rum podcast, and also Austin and Connor from the Dweeb Dive podcast as well. So definitely check those podcasts out as well. And of course, on, you know, hashtag Pod and Family, support, you know, different podcasts and things of that nature while you listen to your podcast and discover new podcasts as well. Of course, you can check me out on Twitter at JMovieTalk as well. And of course, you can find all the episodes of Movie Talk, a part of the TV Zone Podcast Network, on podbean.com. That's the host site, and wherever else to listen to your podcast. Of course, you can also follow Movie Talk on Instagram at JMT Podcast. And if you're on Facebook, you can join the Facebook group page, TV Zone Podcast, as well. And, you know, join the group and, you know, get updates on movies and TV shows that we're discussing and not discussing necessarily as well. I will be back, of course, for episode 146 to end the original Mad Max trilogy, as I'll be talking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode, and I will catch you guys next time. Peace.